Had a good mission conference. Want to thank once again the Davillas, the Shadids, Betsy Ashelman, and Gary Johnson for being here to speak to us this weekend. Our keynote speaker is Charlie Chase. Charlie is retired chaplain of the First Presbyterian Day School and founder of Grace Focused Optimism Ministries. I want to mention something about that. I promise I'm getting no commission for what I'm fixing to say. But this is a great book. It's entitled Grace Focused Optimism. And it's available all the outlets that you can get it from online, et cetera. Grace Focused Optimism. It's not Charlie Chase here, it's C.L. Chase. So if you're looking it up, don't let that throw you off. Incredible book. Cannot recommend it more highly. Grace Focused Optimism. Charlie had graduates of graduate of RTS, both his MDiv and his DMin, and then pastorates in Mississippi, Texas, Alabama, and Georgia. And Charlie and I known each other for quite a while, and we share a common love for the Lord and a common love for communicating God's word. And so without any further ado, let me welcome Charlie Chase to our pulpit this morning.
No commission, but you know him as well as I do. He expects something out of this. So. I'm waiting to see what it's going to be. I have known him a long time, and I know whereof I speak. Good morning. It has been a joy being with you. There is, I think I can say this with Judgment Day honesty, there is no place I enjoy preaching more than Lakeland Presbyterian Church. That's because of your pastor and his wife and your assistant pastor and his wife and their families, but also because of you. I feel like when I preach to you, I'm pouring water on ground that just welcomes it and soaks it in, and that is an encouraging thing. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you very much. You've always welcomed me warmly and greeted me graciously. I just wish I could say to you that you're dealing with an angel unawares, but I'm not going to go quite that far. So let's pray together. Father, as we conclude our time together, thinking about the truth that Jesus shall reign where the sun doth its successive journeys run, we bow, lost in wonder, love, and praise at the assurance that his reign will be our reign, that we are, through him, your sons and daughters and joint heirs. We look at our culture, we look at this world, and we cry, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But until you come, we have been given a privileged calling to take the gospel to every tongue and tribe and nation. Grant us even greater faithfulness. I pray this morning, use me to stir this eminently faithful, mission-supporting church to become even more faithful in its support. Take my attempt, Lord Jesus, to expound your counsel and use it in our lives this morning in a dramatic, eternal way. We pray in your name. Amen. A circus many, many years ago comes to a rural town. One of its greatest attractions is a Samson-like strongman who delights in giving jackhammer strong displays of his strength. So one night, he's got a huge audience inside the big tent. He takes a huge lemon and he puts both hands on it and he strangles it until he thinks the last drop of juice is gone. He looks at the audience and he says, I'll give $200, $200 right here, right now, to anyone who can come up here and squeeze another drop, no matter how small, out of this lemon. An elderly lady gets up and with the kimono-like steps of someone with arthritis comes and asks for the lemon. The strong man places it in hands that are blue-veined and small as a bird's claws. She takes that lemon and she squeezes it. And another drop of juice, the size of a teardrop, falls and explodes on the sawdust. The strong man shakes his head in surprise and pulls a wad of bills out and peels off two $100 bills and gives it to her. Then he says, ma'am, how'd you get so strong? She says, practice. He says, whatever are you talking about? She says, I have plenty of practice in squeezing juice from dry lemons. My entire adult life has been one of serving as treasurer in my church. That's a story from an Anglican pastor, by the way. And I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, I want you to relax. I have neither the desire nor the strength to squeeze juice from your economic lemon. Matter of fact, I think you are an extraordinarily generous congregation from everything that I see and hear. But I do come hoping to lead you this morning by the grace of God to become even more generous. Not by coercion, but by coaxing. You probably have heard the great story of the occasion when the legendary preacher George Whitefield was preaching and his friend Benjamin Franklin was in the congregation. Whitefield made clear in the beginning that at the end of his sermon, he was going to take an offering for the orphanages that he supported. Franklin had frequently given. He was generous with Whitefield on a number of occasions, and he decided, I'm not going to give a penny tonight. He was sitting there with some copper coins, what we would call pennies, some three or four pieces of silver, and five Spanish gold coins. And Franklin said, I'm not putting anything into the collection plate. And he slammed the door on his heart when it came to giving to Whitefield and bolted it shut like a New York City apartment. And then Whitefield got up to preach. And as he preached, Franklin's resolve melted like an ice-cold stick of butter in a hot skillet. After a little while, Franklin decided, I'm going to put my coppers in the collection plate. Whitefield went a little further, and Franklin said, I'm going to put my silver in too. By the time Whitefield got through, Franklin had emptied his pockets and given Whitefield everything that he had. Whitefield had coaxed out of Franklin even greater generosity than Franklin had already demonstrated. That's what I come to do with you. To coax out of you in dependence upon God an even greater generosity than you have already shown. But there is a problem. And that problem is this. I do not have George Whitefield's oratorical pickpocket skills. And if it depends on me, I'm going to be about as persuasive with you as Ms. Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal is with Rush Limbaugh. I won't get a penny from you. I'm grateful, though. I don't have to depend upon me. Because I come this morning to give you the best investment advice you will ever get. You ready? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the greatest, finest, best investment advice that you will ever get. And I'm going to summarize it for you. Are you ready? Here it is. Invest in Jesus. That's it. That's it. Invest in Jesus. And you will invest with consummate wisdom. So let's break that down for just a few minutes. Let's begin with this. The best investment advice you will ever get is in three words. Invest in Jesus. Now here's where we need to start. Who is giving you this advice? Where is it coming from? Well, I submit to you it's coming to someone who knows investments better than Warren Buffett and Charles Schwab put together. The Lord Jesus Christ. When Grover Cleveland was running for president, Joseph Pulitzer gave him a 5-sentence standing ovation endorsement. Help Cleveland get elected. Here's that endorsement. You should vote for Grover Cleveland because, 1, he is an honest man. 2, he is an honest man. 3, he is an honest man. 4, he is an honest man. There is not, nor has there ever been, a more honest man than the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't exaggerate. He's not into political correctness. He's going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it's this Jesus who stands before you this morning, and he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You remember the Mount of Transfiguration? The cloud, the Air Force One symbol of the presence of God, comes to that cloud. And Peter, James, and John hear a voice. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. That same voice is speaking to you this morning. He's coming to you and he's saying, listen now, this investment advice you're being given, it comes from my son. Listen to him. Jesus isn't lying. Jesus isn't exaggerating. Jesus isn't overstating. When he says to you, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Which being interpreted is this? Invest in Jesus. That's the best investment advice that you can ever receive. So, now that we've seen who gives it, let's look at the two investment strategies that Jesus gives us. Very simple this morning, and I hope very brief. I don't like talking about money any more than you like hearing about it. So what are Jesus' two investment strategies? Here's the first one. Don't invest in a bear market. Here's the second one. Do invest in a bull market. Now, I'm 72 and I can remember that, so hopefully you can remember it. Investment strategy 1, invest in Jesus, meaning what? Do not invest in a bear market. 10:24-29. Ring a bell? 10:24-29. October 24th, 1929. Also known as Black Thursday. The day the stock market crashed. That very day, the morning of Black Thursday, President Herbert Hoover stood before the American public and said, "The fundamentals of the American economy are sound." And by nightfall, a tsunami, economic disaster, washed away the finances of virtually every single American. The market turned into what investors call a bear market, and everything was gone. Sound familiar? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal. Now, Jesus isn't telling you there, please listen, Jesus isn't telling you there that you cannot spend money on things that you and your family enjoy. He's not telling you you can't buy books from Amazon. He's certainly not telling you you cannot buy a book called Grace Focused Optimism from Amazon. And he isn't saying you can't buy Kinda Blue by Miles Davis from Amazon or virtually anything by Ornette Coleman or Coleman Hawkins or any other number of great jazz musicians. And he's not telling you that you cannot eat in one of the 9,999 restaurants in Jackson, Mississippi. Y'all have more restaurants than Baptist churches. Scripture says that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. So that when Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, Jesus isn't telling you that you can't spend your money on you. And he's not telling you that you can't spend your money on your family. That's not what he's saying. He's not even telling you, don't buy life insurance or set up a 401k. That's not what he's talking about. You say, well, Charlie, then what in the world is he talking about? Will you listen? He's talking about you spending dollars on yourself, but dimes on him. That's it. That's what he's talking about. When Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, what he's saying is this. We all have that tendency. We all have that inclination. We all have that practice of spending dollars on ourselves, but dimes on the Lord. And even when we give generously, by comparison, it's often dollars compared to dimes, is it not? And Jesus says, look, all of that, sooner or later, will be gone. All of it. It is a bear market to invest primarily in ourselves and in our earthly existence. That's laying up treasures on earth rather than heaven. I don't know how to explain this, but everything that we do in terms of spending our money has a bearing on eternity. This Christian dies and he goes to heaven. And the angel sent to escort him to his mansion gets him. And they go walking through some really, really, really nice neighborhoods. I mean, these are palatial mansions. They look like the Palace of Versailles. He's gawking as he looks. And he just can't wait till he gets to his mansion. So finally, they turn down a back street and they come to this neighborhood. And there is a tiny house. I mean, it's very beautiful. But it looks like a scaled-down version of a doll's house. And the angel says, that's your mansion. And Christian says, well, wait a minute, man. I mean, we just passed all of these palaces. This is my mansion? Why am I here? And the angel says, hey, look, man, we did the best we could with the money you sent up here. That's what Jesus is saying. You're investing. I'm investing. Every dollar I spend is an investment. And Jesus says, be wise. Invest in me. Meaning what? Well, meaning the third thing. I told you I was going to be brief. Meaning the third thing. The best investment advice you can get is invest in Jesus. How do you invest in Jesus? Will you listen? You give dollars to him the same way you give dollars to yourself. One of my favorite preaching stories about an old preacher who was criticized one time because all he did was preach for eternity. He said, you should be preaching more for the times. And he said, listen, with all the brothers preaching for the times, will you not allow one poor brother to preach for eternity? Jesus comes and he says, look, with all the advice that you're being given about investing in the times, investing for your future, in laying up a nest egg, will you not listen to someone telling you to invest in eternity? When Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, what he's saying is this, spend your money with an eye on eternity. John Piper, the great Baptist minister, grew up in a home that had a plaque on the wall. Here's what the plaque said. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So, how do you invest in Jesus? How do you lay up treasure in heaven? Well, there's a mission conference. So let's make it eminently practical. You give more to missions. You give more to missions. Will you notice that Jesus gives you no percentage? Jesus doesn't say, give 10%. Jesus doesn't say, give 20%. Jesus doesn't say, give 25%. I know of one PCA church, they give 50% of everything they take to missions. That's great, but I don't find Jesus telling us that. He's not telling you a percentage. Why? Will you listen? Because our giving is a way of showing him practically and tangibly, I love you. So he doesn't give us a percentage. He leaves it to us that it may be what Presbyterians call a free will offering. So how do you do that? Well, I'm very hesitant to do this, but I do it because I want you to see I practice what I preach. About 10 years ago, my dear wife and I stopped giving each other Christmas presents and anniversary presents and birthday presents. Now, not because we were angry. I mean, how could you be angry with somebody as handsome as I am? And I couldn't be angry with somebody as beautiful as she. Nope. We came to see that in my case, I don't need another tie. And she didn't need another piece of jewelry. And we could harvest what we were spending on each other and give beyond what we had been giving to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life is like a couch with coins all over it. And there are all kinds of ways you can find a little bit more to give to the Lord and to his cause. Like what? Like taking a missionary and offering to give a percentage of that missionary's needs for that year. Like what? Like taking Betsy Aishelman and offering to buy a certain amount of medical supplies for an entire year. Like what? Like giving money for third world pastors to buy books they cannot afford. The Banner of Truth has a program. You can send $200 and say, will you send books wherever you think they are needed? And they discount their books and they send. Like what? Like buying a pig for Cuban pastors. Did you know that Cuban evangelical pastors do not receive anything from the Cuban government. They're the only people in the nation who don't receive anything, but they don't because they're evangelicals. But one pig will take care of a Cuban pastor and his family for a lengthy period of time. I think it costs $100 to buy a pig. And they get that money, and you are investing in heaven. You are laying up treasures. I can't tell you where. I will tell you this. Will you listen? If you turn to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, give me a place where I can give over and above what I normally give. Show me some work. Show me some missionary. Show me some activity. You would have me support. Listen, he so loves spending your money that he's going to show you. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. And he will liberally give with the desire to see you liberally give as well. By any comparison, we are fabulously wealthy, are we not? And Jesus comes and he says, look, here's the issue. If you spend dollars on yourself and dimes on me, you're laying up treasure on earth. And it's going to go like a sandcastle when the wave comes in. But if you spend dollars on me like you spend dollars on you, you're laying up treasure in heaven. I don't understand how this works, but listen, I believe that as we give, what Jesus is saying to us here is this. When I give liberally, when I give generously, when I give dollars to him like I spend dollars on me, and I get to heaven, I'm going to find a blessing that makes the oasis of earthly retirement, living at Palm Beach, traveling the world, playing golf twice a week, seem by comparison like being a street person living under a bridge in a New York City winter. There is such a glory that Jesus Christ has waiting for his generous people. And when he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, I don't understand everything that he means. But I do know he means this, that when I invest in him, I say, Lord Jesus, you are my treasure and you have my heart. And that's the best investment you can make. So, I hope I've coached you. I hope you're like George Whitfield, or I'm like George Whitfield, and you're like Ben Franklin. I hope you're already pulling the coppers out and the silver and the gold too, and are ready to put it in that faith promise envelope. Are you? Because listen, if you're not, will you listen? If you are not, I'm going to call a lady who knows how to squeeze juice out of dry lemons. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You have so richly blessed us. And you have so blessed this congregation and blessed others through them. I ask that you would come this morning, Savior, and help us to see. We have an opportunity now to lay up treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. We have an opportunity to listen and follow the best investment advice we will ever get. We have an opportunity to invest in Jesus. Help us to do that. In his name, amen.